Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Jennifer Style, whose latest novel, Exile Music, takes us through an unexplored slice of World War II history through the eyes of Orly, a young Jewish girl who, along with her mother and father, flee Vienna for the safe harbor in the mountains of Bolivia after the Germans arrive there in Vienna. Jennifer, I've read countless World War II novels, and none of them have ever touched on this particular part of history. What drew you to it enough to write a novel about it?
Well, I was living in La Paz, Bolivia at the time I first heard about this particular group of refugees. My husband was working for the European Union at the time, and he came home from a work meeting one night with the Austrian consul and said, "Did you know that there were more than 10,000 Jewish refugees living here in Bolivia during World War II, many of whom were musicians and artists?" And we both found that interesting and started learning more about it, but it wasn't long before I met one of the descendants of one of these refugees. And through him, I discovered the stories of other refugees, and I became interested in writing about what it must have been like for them to come from Vienna to live in the middle of the Andes.
The generation we're talking about would be very old by this point. Were you able to meet with some of the actual refugees, surviving refugees?
Yes. I interviewed this one man, Guillermo, who was 83 when I interviewed him, and is around 88 now. He's still alive. He came from Vienna when he was 8 years old. And so he was one of my most useful interviews, because my character Orly is 10 or 11 when she first comes to Bolivia, so around the same age that he was when he came to Bolivia, and he could talk to me about what it was like to grow up, to be around that age coming to a completely foreign landscape and making a life for himself there. He is passionately Bolivian and would never consider going back to Austria, and a lot of his story really informed Orly's.
Whenever I hear Vienna in any art form, it takes me back to the movie Amadeus, and I immediately start thinking of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. But in Vienna, what was the title of the book's Exile Music, what was the music scene like for Orly's parents? Because that was their industry, right?
Yes. So Orly's father is a viola player with the Vienna Philharmonic, and the Vienna Philharmonic expelled all 13 of their Jewish musicians in the 1930s. And so Orly's father, of course, he's a fictional character, but I imagine him expelled along with these musicians. Her mother is an opera singer who also stops getting work once the Nazis rise to power. And so both of her parents lose their jobs. And eventually it becomes clear that they have to leave Austria. And there, by 1938, there are only three countries in the world still granting visas to Jews who are looking to flee. So Bolivia is one of those three countries, and that's where they could get a visa to. And once they land there, music is a way for them to connect their past with their present. Orly's father adapts by learning about Bolivian music and learning Bolivian instruments. Orly begins studying a Bolivian instrument eventually, whereas her mother, who cannot recover from the grief of having left her son behind in Austria, or Switzerland actually is where he is when they leave, she stops singing. And that profoundly affects Orly, because their whole family has always communicated through music.
When Orly watched her mother perform opera and watched her father perform his viola, she observed each of them differently. Her father in performance, she said, looked just like her father. What was it like for her to see her mother do opera?
I think, she was stunned the first time she saw her mother do opera, because her mother was this force, this powerful other person. It's a play, it's a form of theater, it's her mother being someone different, and to look around the opera house and see all these people looking at her mother as Elektra's sister was breathtaking for her, and she felt this enormous pride in what her mother did. Also, she could hear her mother's voice, because when her mother sang, you would hear her voice, whereas her father's viola was harder to pick out of the entire orchestra. He just, you know, was in his black and white with all the other musicians and was kind of this cog in the machine of the orchestra, whereas her mother was a little more vivid to her. And this all changes, of course, when they leave.
The book is told in the first person from Orly's perspective, and to me, that's a real tall order for a character who was a child when a lot of this action occurred, and it's action that not a lot of people experience who are reading it. She says her first memory was not something that happened to her, but it was rather a sound. It was her father's violin. How do you think that observation and that type of memory lends credibility to her narration?
Well, I think often when I think back to my first memories, they're often of a sound or a feeling, like a feeling of touch or warmth or something I heard. And I think Orly, having grown up around music all her life, I mean, she was basically born into music. There's a soundtrack to her life. And so I think that her first memory would have been sound. Her father was always playing before she woke up in the morning. And I think that those sensory memories are the things that stay with us the longest, rather than more kind of intellectual memories. It's kind of the things we sense more immediately.
Orly also observed that her father became a musician because there was no way he could not be a musician. What does she mean by that?
I think she means that he was so passionately in love with music that he couldn't see a way to getting through the day or communicating with other people if not through music. It was all he ever wanted to do and all he loved. And I think for him, it just wasn't possible for him to turn his attention away from music to do anything else. So I think for him, it probably didn't feel so much like a choice as that was what he was doing. People often say this about writing and performing as well, like, don't do it unless you know, you can't not do it. I think if you kind of have to write in order to process the world and get through the day, maybe that's me relating to musicians through my own art form.
The relationship between Orly and her friend Annalise was particularly insightful for me. I never had a childhood friendship like that. How did you tap into those pre-adolescent emotions to make them so real on the pages?
Well, I have a young daughter who's 10 at the time, but she was younger when I started writing this book, and the world that she creates with her friend Annalisa is a lot like the world that my daughter created when she was young, and it was very elaborate, and she was constantly adding to it for years, and I felt like I was living in this world half the time, and so that inspired the world that she created with Annalisa, and I think my daughter she didn't have a friend like Annalisa, but I guess I imagined Annalisa as the friend my daughter would have wanted to have. In fact, earlier this year, Theodora said to me at one point, why can't I have a friend like Annalisa? And I was like, okay, she's fictional, but maybe someday. And so it was imagined, but based on kind of observations of my daughter with her friends.
I'm talking with Jennifer Style about her latest novel, Exile Music. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Jennifer, each of the chapters begins with a note of historical significance, and one that stood out to me was that in August of 1938, all Jews were forced to adopt a Jewish middle name to make them easier to identify. I'd never heard that before. But what came first for you in the writing, these historical notes or the chapter narratives themselves?
The chapter narratives themselves came first. The historical notes came much later. I was trying to figure out a way to build momentum in the start of the book, because the part of the book that takes place in Austria is a part of the story that's been told much more often, where I wanted to get them to Bolivia quickly, but I also had to show what their life was like before they went to Bolivia so you could see the change, and so you knew who they were in their home country before they came to Bolivia. But I needed there to be momentum to that section, and putting in kind of the menace of the Nazis and the new rules, you know, coming into law all the time, and the increasing persecution, I included to give that first part more of a feeling like, oh my God, they've got to get out before, you know, before they get sent off to the concentration camps. So that's why those details were put in, and I spent a lot of time looking through archives in the Holocaust Museum to figure out which detail I wanted to include for each section, and that took a lot of time and research.
Orly and her family get to Bolivia, to the Andes. Are we talking night and day difference between Vienna? I mean, it's close to a night and day difference, right?
Yeah, I mean, Vienna was this modern, you know, as modern a city as the world had back then, and Bolivia, in La Paz, Bolivia at the time had probably around 200,000 people, and Guillermo, one of the survivors I interviewed, he said when he got to Bolivia, his thought was, this is not a city, this is a village. Like, who said this is a city? This isn't anything like Vienna. And it's in the middle of the Andes Mountains. It's isolated, it's remote, it's at 12,000 feet, it's difficult to live at that kind of altitude. So, it was a big change from living at sea level in an urban center to living in the middle of the mountains. I mean, and people spoke a different language, they had different cultures, there was nothing familiar for my characters to latch onto at all.
As you lived in Bolivia for several years, how does the La Paz that exists now compare with the La Paz that Orly and her family would have encountered?
I think Orly and her family would recognize La Paz today. I remember when I was in La Paz, I was in a museum looking at photographs, old photographs of Bolivia in the 1940s, and a lot of it doesn't look that different. Even the clothing, a lot of it's still the same. It's, of course, much more developed. There's parts of the city were countryside back then that are now fully developed. When we lived in Bolivia, we could see 9 construction sites from our window, so it was very busy developing and building things. So it is, you know, expanding rapidly and quite modern in many ways now. But I think it would be pretty recognizable still to Orly. There's still, you can still find alpacas wandering around here and there.
I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this book. The book is Exile Music by Jennifer Style. It was such an incredibly fast, emotional read. It was an emotional roller coaster for me to read this book. Jennifer, I just can't, like I say, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.